This month, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg has been examining various opinions of beauty. Fairy tales are full of ideas on that subject. Think of that queen in Snow White, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? Susan concludes her series, Who Says It's Beautiful, with stories of beauty from Once Upon a Time.
Once upon a time, the longtime snoozer was beautiful. The one with the long braids was beautiful. The one with the little guy with pals was beautiful. And those who were against them were ugly. But Jack Zipes, an expert on fairy tales and folklore, says those gorgeous, ugly antagonists are not the whole story. Professor Zipes, to begin, let us go over the traditional Brothers Grimm's beauties. Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, Rapunzel.
Most of them are indeed beautiful, but they're never described, so we never know what they actually look like. They're just identified as being beautiful. And beautiful generally means, in the Grimm's terms, a young lady who is docile, domesticated, quite often comatose, passive, waiting for somebody to kiss her so she can have a life.
It's really interesting. She was no action heroine.
Well, they did act, but their actions were intended to either please a wise old woman who would train the young lady to become industrious, obedient, self-sacrificial.
In so many societies, beauty really becomes a source of power. Is it possible that somewhere in this beauty/passive world of the Grimm's women, that was a sort of power, or is that just too far a stretch?
Not really. I mean, the beautiful woman, like, let's take Snow White, who eventually will become a queen because she's married in the end, she will have a great deal of power, but that power is very illusory because she will then be in the same position as her stepmother, that is, a beautiful woman who will have to watch out for a young rival who will match her in beauty, and therefore she will also probably try to do away, kill, or murder that other young woman who comes along. There's a wonderful book by Susan Gubar and Sandra Gilbert called The Mad Woman in the Attic, and they talk about this cycle, how women are pitted against one another quite often in the fairy tales, and they use Snow White as a very good example.
You've just published a collection of folk and fairy tales from Sicily, and these were stories that were passed down orally and gathered in the 19th century by a woman named Laura Gansenbach. And she went through the countryside talking with peasant women.
Right.
Are the heroines of those Sicilian stories beautiful in this traditional way?
They're generally described as more beautiful than the sun and the moon put together. But that's all. That's the only physical description. The Grimms never went into the fields and collected folk tales from the peasants. They generally collected them from people from the middle class or lower middle class. The great coup, not only Laura Gansenbach, but another very brilliant folklorist named Giuseppe Pitre, whom I'm translating right now, they collected their tales mainly from peasant women who present a different idea of beauty. For instance, in one of the tales I translated called The Snake Who Bore Witness, it's a tale about rape and the violation of a beautiful woman who then takes action against the prince who rapes her and then gets revenge. In another tale called Sorafina, there's a young woman who smacks around the prince because he's dumb and he tries to seek revenge. She too is able to outwit him. Also in Germany, in the oral tradition, the lower classes, the peasant women, have a different picture of what beauty is and what womanhood means, whereas in the middle class adaptations that the Grimms did, there's generally an attempt to comply with the middle class or aristocratic standards of what beauty should be. So it's fascinating to make a comparison, say, between the Sicilian folk tales and the collection of the Brothers Grimm.
It's really interesting because it means that in fairy tales and folklore, it is class and social status that
right.
says what's beautiful.
Exactly. Beauty is not in the eyes of the beholder in these fairy tales, but beauty is seen through the actions and the comportment of the heroes and the heroines.
These days, we get our fairy tales from the movies, Disney, et cetera, as much as we do books. And I wonder how different beauty is there. For instance, there's the second Shrek film.
Yeah.
And here, in the new one, these ogre lovers, they have a chance to be remade as Handsome Prince and a Beautiful Princess, and they choose not to. They say, no, leave me alone. I'm going to stay in my swamp and live happily funny looking ever after.
Yes. I have written about Shrek as the antithesis and as an antidote to the terrible Disney films. Disney was a disaster for the fairy tale because he was among the first who visually projected what beauty should look like. And of course, almost all of his heroines are these emaciated Barbie dolls who are very helpless and also very sweet and innocent and indeed really do look forward to a man saving them and actually ruling their lives. Of course, in the late 1960s and 1970s, the feminist movement brought about a revision of these classical fairy tales so that the contemporary fairy tales have done a great service with regard to mixing up the stereotypes, the archetypes, so that we have a much more interesting view of both men and women. It's a questioning of the so-called absolute standards of what beauty or ugliness really mean.
Jack Zipes is professor of German at the University of Minnesota. His books include The Oxford Companion to Fairy Tales, which he edited, Don't Bet on the Prince, and his latest, Beautiful Angiola. In one of the Sicilian stories from that book, a prince reminds his sister, the princess, of their father's deathbed wish, that she should marry whomever picked up a rose from the street. The beautiful princess replies, "Was our father crazy? What is this? I'm supposed to marry any man who picks up the rose? If that's the case, I'd rather not marry at all." I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Someday my prince will come.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.